Let us hear now the word of God as it comes to us through the Old Testament prophet Isaiah chapter 6. I will be reading to you from Isaiah 6 verses 1 through 8. Verses 1 through 8, and I invite you to listen to the word of God to you. This is the very famous passage of the call of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings, and two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me. I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar, and with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed. Your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." May God bless this reading of his holy word. Please be seated. Join with me in prayer. O Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I'm going to begin this morning by unabashedly appealing to the dog lovers among us. And the rest of you, I hope you'll forgive me and just listen in. I wonder if you've ever thought like me that it would be wonderful if people valued the most important things in life with the same kind of exuberance and joy and enthusiasm that dogs simply have when they want to go outside, right? We've had a lot of dogs in our family throughout the years, and I'll always remember our miniature wire-haired dachshund by the name of Kenzie. And he loved to go outside, and he loved to go for a walk so much that we had to be careful whenever we seemed to mention that was a possibility. We would have to spell out the word walk. I'd say to Tom, "I'm taking Kenzie out for a W-A-L-K, and he could spell, too. He would say, "Okay." It was our routine. I mean, if we didn't do that, he would just scurry around us, be so excited, underfoot, and it was hard even to put a jacket on, let me tell you. So each dog, you know, we've had has their unique style. Our current dog is a rescue dog by the name of Jacques, and, you know, heard about him before. We call him our little head case. He has his own unique style about going outside. We will say, usually it's yelling up up to the top of the stairs. Shaki, time to go out. And we will hear him plop down off of one of our beds, more than likely, and then he'll stand at the top of the stairs and he'll look at us a little inquisitively, and then we say it again, Jockey, time to go out, let's go out. And finally he plops, you know, his feet, you hear his paws down the steps as he lumbers down, and once he gets downstairs and we say, Jockey, time to go out, that's when he does this playful dance. He's so excited. It's like he has just, I don't know, caught a ball at the end zone or something like that. So dogs have their ways of showing their enthusiasm, right? Most dogs. And I have to tell you, sometime I dream about what the world would be like if people responded to the most important things in the same kind of way. I have to tell you, once in a while, I catch myself dreaming about what this church would be like if people responded in a similar kind of way to God's insistence on their lives. That means reacting without hesitancy, not having excuses lined up to wazoo, not debating, not thinking about, oh, I have all these things to do today. I mean, what if at a drop of the hat, folks said something like, God said, let's get out there. Let's be who you were created to be and serve with a capital S. And what if folks would say, I heard my name called, and I said, I am present and accounted for. Just imagine, people young and old, it would be like they were packing their bags with so much excitement their feet could hardly touch the ground. They literally would be beside themselves with joy. Okay, I have some wild and crazy dreams about what the world would be like, some wild and crazy dreams about what our church would be like. By the same token, I know from personal experience how hard it is to get charged up, you know, on all cylinders. I may have mentioned this before in another context, but I clearly remember the day that I was examined for ordination by the Chicago Presbytery. I was all of a young 25 years old. I was so nervous. I felt like my legs were shaking. I mean, here were all these erudite clergy people sitting out in pews, and I was standing in front of them all by myself. And I was asked, describe your sense of call. I remember feeling so intimidated, you know. I felt like inside me was like this melted wax. I had prepared a statement, but as I read it, it just sounded, you know, sort of like gibberish. I thought, am I really saying anything that means anything at all to anyone here? But if truth be told, the reason I found myself in that sanctuary with my feet planted on the ground that day was, it, you know, for another reason than what I was trying to express, because it was just because I had a sense. I had a sense. And if I had stood there and said, I have a sense about what I need to do, I have a sense about how to use my gifts and the place they need to be expressed in the world, I just have a sense, well, I knew that that would sound so incredibly lame. It wasn't like I heard the voice of God or anything. It wasn't like the heavens opened up and I saw angels, you know, flying all about. I wasn't filled with this huge feeling of shock and awe. All I had was a sense. It was more than a hunch, more than a gnawing gut instinct. It wasn't, though, what I would call a loud, clear voice speaking to me. I had the kind of feeling you think about when you feel you need to do something and then you just want to sit down and see if that feeling would pass. But I knew that feeling wouldn't pass. I knew that I needed to take the plunge, because if I didn't take the plunge, this sense would keep coming back to me over and over and over in my life. I just knew. And let me tell you, this didn't feel like a whole lot to go on. All I knew is I was being propelled forward. I was being propelled forward, and something inside me said, walk forward in this way. So I know. I know how hard it is to just be all charged up on all cylinders and then, go forth and go out. And actually, what is so refreshing, Isaiah, he knew that too. I mean, what is so amazing to me about this passage is that he didn't really keep that fact about himself very secret. He said, I am a man of unclean lips. I am not worthy. And his response to all this, whatever it was, thunder and lightning and majesty, well, it was, don't send me. I mean, it was as if he had the nerve to basically say something like, I think you've chosen the wrong person here. Have you really looked at my resume? Have you really looked at my credentials? Do you know who you are dealing with? Did you check my references? I can't walk on water. In fact, it was as if he even said, I have foot and mouth disease, and here you want me to speak out in a prophetic way? What if I get all tongue-tied and messed up? And you know what the really, really troubling part of this passage is? Let me share it with you. The really troubling part is that God doesn't care about what got Isaiah all tied up in a knot. Isaiah could have kept protesting and protesting as long as, he wanted to the end of the world, and God didn't care. God is a patient God, right? The disturbing thing is none of Isaiah's concerns even mattered. We want them to matter. We want our concerns to matter because they matter so much to us. But, they don't matter to God. Because God had information that Isaiah didn't have, and God has information maybe that we don't have. God knows that Isaiah will have the resources to carry out what he is called to do. To carry out this amazing prophetic ministry that is entrusted to him. And furthermore, he will have those resources when and where he needs them. After all, think about this beckoning God, this insisting God, this very pushy God doesn't call forth a person and just leave them hanging out there all by themselves as if they were on a limb, right? This God calls and equips and calls and says, when you're on my team, don't forget, I'm on your team. Don't forget that I will bring all that I am to bear on your situation, and it will help us win the game. So yes, God is a passionate God. I mean, read Isaiah. And God gives us a whole lot to be passionate about if we open our hearts If we open our minds, if we open our lives and admit that we really do know what matters in the most important ways in life. One of my favorite stories was told by Joseph Campbell. Joseph Campbell, he was the writer of The Power of Myth, and he had some wonderful things to say about the power of myth in people's lives, myth being used in a very powerful, archetypal way. And Joseph Campbell, he once wrote a wonderful story about two police officers. And these two police officers, they were actually doing police work in Hawaii, and they were the section that was called the Pali, and it was a place where trade winds, blew very strongly. Winds from the north came rushing through a great ridge of mountains. And Joseph Campbell says that people go there to feel this strong rush of wind, but then people go there also for other very sad reasons. So these two police officers, they were patrolling one day, and they noticed that where there was the guardrail, that kept cars from going off and plunging over the edge, up ahead there was a young man who was standing outside of the guardrail preparing to jump. The officer who was driving, he sped up, went quickly to where the man was, and in no time at all, the other officer, his companion, he jumped out of the car, and he grabbed the man who was just ready to jump, and he caught him. But the problem was the force of where he was falling was just about ready to take both of them over the edge. And at that point, the officer who was driving the car got out, ran up, and arrived just in time to pull the man who was trying to do himself in and his companion police officer back to safety. And later on, a newspaper reporter asked Joseph Campbell about the situation and asked the policeman who had saved the life of the man who was about ready to jump about the situation, and he said to the guy, why didn't you let him go? You could have been killed. And the officer said, I couldn't let him go. If I had let that young man go, I couldn't have lived another day of my life. I couldn't have lived another day of my life. Have you ever been so passionate about something that you knew you couldn't live another day of your life unless you followed through? How might the whispering of God be speaking to you today, calling you? To what are you being called today? Could God just be waiting to hear you say those immortal, timeless words of Isaiah? Here I am. Here I am. Send me. May God bless the hearing of his word to us today. Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, there's so much going on within us and so much that we feel we need to deal with. But help us truly see what is most important. Help us truly see the ways you call us and guide us and knock at our doors. May we know that you equip us just as you call. Help us as we live our lives in ways that are so worthy of your calling. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen.